Hello, and welcome to Sporecast, a Canadian podcast discussing patient-oriented research, research done in partnership with patients. I'm Beverly Pomeroy.
And I'm Lisa Ridgway, and we are patient partners who sit on a variety of patient councils and advisory groups, all with the vision to encourage research to answer research questions that matter to patients and aim to improve healthcare.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will be inspired to get involved and create your own impact in order to support healthcare research be more relevant and meaningful. Please enjoy the show.
Well, hello, Bev. How are you today?
I'm great, Lisa. I'm pretty excited. We're sitting here on the top floor of the Sylvia Hotel. It doesn't get any better than that, the studio.
How cool is that? Broadcasting from the Sylvia Hotel, looking out over English Bay. And today we are welcoming a really interesting and engaging person, Taylor Hainstock, who is the research liaison lead on Vancouver Island with the BC Support Unit. Hello, Taylor.
Hello, ladies.
You know, the first time I met Taylor, I think actually it was after I was supposed to. I think I stood you up on our first date, didn't I?
I will erase that one from my memory. After. I can't remember, actually, to be honest.
Oh, that's good. I'm so sorry to have to bring that vignette back, but you had called me and I was supposed to meet you and I never turned up. So here we are again. I apologize for that, but we have to know more about you because that's what this whole Sporecast is about. It's about talking to really the people who are out there doing the hard work on the front lines. So can you describe for everyone that's listening to our podcast your role as research liaison lead on Vancouver Island with the BC Support Unit?
Yeah, for sure. So background aside, I guess I kind of tell you guys that I'm originally from Ontario, so I'm not a BC girl. But came out here, yes, as most people do. They migrate their way out here after school and, you know, hang out for a little bit and then figure out that hanging out's not always going to get you very far. And I landed in Victoria just mainly because of school. And then sort of fast forward a little bit, I am the patient research liaison with the BC Support Unit, Vancouver Island Center. And I guess I kind of, that's a loaded title that I don't often spit out very often, like I don't really use it very often, but I think pretty much at the most fundamental level, I describe myself as sort of the matchmaker here on the island. I connect people who have lived experience and who are super excited and keen to get involved and contribute in any capacity possible, and I engage them with different types of opportunities sort of within that large, big health research umbrella. I kind of would say that I'm an advocate for the patient voice. I work on your behalf. I work for you guys. I bend over backwards. I do square dances. I do all sorts of fun things.
Good visual, Taylor.
I'd like to see
good
that.
Visual.
Although you really don't want to see me dance. However, I really try to just make the opportunity to share your perspectives and lived experience and expertise and knowledge with others in any way possible. So it kind of ebbs and flows day by day, week by week on what my exact role is. But I wear a lot of different hats most of the time. We do training and education events, and I've taken up a little bit of facilitation work lately. And I do newsletters if you want to ask financial questions. I've learned how to do that too. And it's it's fun. It's a little bit different every day.
And so, like, so you're on Vancouver Island, and I know the Vancouver Island Center, you collaborate with different education facilities. So is it UVic? Like, who else do you collaborate with over there?
Yeah, totally. So without diving into the sort of the nitty gritty about how the BC Support Unit kind of is laid out across the province, mm-hmm. on the island, it's a collaborative partnership between the University of Victoria, Island Health's research department, as well as the Island Medical Program. So together, collaboratively, those three sort of host institutions work together to sort of roll out patient-oriented research here on the island. And it's super important to remember that it's not Victoria-centric. Although UVic is located in Victoria, and it is the only institution here on the island that's sort of research intensive, if you will. Mm-hmm. But that our support for teams that want to explore and sort of get diving right into that patient-oriented research approach, we support teams across the island. So wow. Whether you're coming from Camosun College, whether you're coming from Vancouver Island University, a little bit further up, that's okay. Traditionally more focused as a teaching school, yes. We're here to help everyone. So it doesn't really matter if you're within the health authority exclusively and you're not affiliated with the university, no big deal, we'll figure that out. But that, yeah, we're here to sort of support regardless of where your host institution is.
That's an amazing job description. You're so engaged with patients and on the front lines of lived experience. But what is your personal interest in patient-oriented research? Can you share the factors? What's driven you personally into this side of the healthcare spectrum?
Yeah, because you seem like you're quite engaged with it, right? And from my experience in getting to know you, Taylor, and other members, is that you really do have like an interest in what we're doing as patients.
It kind of feels like I'm being interviewed for the job position again.
Little did you know.
You passed. You got the job. You win the prize.
Yay. Well, I think because a similar question did come up when I was getting hired. And you know what? It did prompt me to sort of sit back and think about, like, how the heck did I end up here? Because patient-oriented research by label was totally not something that was ever introduced to me during any of my education. Like,
wow.
It was not something, well, to be honest, health research was not in my line of sight until my master's degree. So recognizing that, yeah, you have a professor and they're there to teach you and yada, yada, but you don't really realize that they have an entire other sort of portfolio research program behind what they're there to teach you about that day. Yeah. So I didn't really understand the world of health research until I got into my master's, and it's, as most researchers will probably share, there's always this like intrinsic reason for doing what you do. That's something that underpins why you're doing what you do and why you're there, and what that passion sort of that fuels what you're up to. And so for me, when I was getting ready to interview for the position, I had to kind of think about like, okay, how did I end up here? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. A couple cold call emails to Rebecca and all that kind of stuff. And I said, but no, like really. And it comes back to how I actually ended up doing my master's research project. And my grandmother lived with us. So if you want to go back a couple of years when I was in Ontario, my grandmother lived with us from the age of 91, I think it was, until about 96 when she moved into a long-term care facility. And my mom, although she was working full-time, was my grandmother's, she was labeled my grandmother's primary caregiver. And So she lived at home with us, and complex healthcare needs. She was mid-90s everything, hip replacements, the whole nine yards. And so my mom, being a teacher as her profession, and my dad was in the teaching field as well, neither of them come from healthcare backgrounds. Neither of them know the healthcare system in and out. And it's different in Ontario than it is in BC all that kind of fun stuff. But my mom, as the primary caregiver, full-time career, was trying to navigate the healthcare system on behalf of somebody and all the ins and outs and complexities and what's eligible for home care services, what's not, and all these different things. And so it's my mom's experience in trying to navigate that my grandmother's care trajectory. So going from living at home and moving into a long-term care facility that really like fueled my master's research project. So from an administrative health data perspective, we know that older adults experience a number of different care transitions, and so they have a very diverse care trajectory. And we can look at that through administrative health data, and that's fantastic. But there's that huge missing piece in the story that is that caregiver, that person with lived experience perspective, that voice to help figure out why people are moving from where they are and into where they're going, and the experiences and trying to navigate that process. Anyways, so that's kind of like, that's what fueled my passion for my master's project. And then from there, I really just didn't want to be one of those people, those statistics that, you finish up your post-secondary education and graduate school and you go back to serving because you don't really know what you're going to do after you get your degree. So I really was trying to not land in that type of scenario. And I wanted to kind of ride on this health research passion that I'd found myself in. And
you are.
And CIHR, you know, it was 2016 in August. I looked back in my email to see when I first cold call.
2016.
Rebecca Barnes, the manager of patient and public engagement at Island Health. I knew that CIHR had this initiative that was slowly rolling out across Canada, but that it wasn't in BC yet. And I was like, you know what? I don't know where this is. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I started asking Rebecca, you know, is there volunteer opportunities? Are there contract opportunities? Are there, like, can I just come and learn? Like, how can I kind of get my foot in the door? And then it kind of just truly, like, it kind of just rolled out from there. Opportunities opened up, positions got posted, and I hadn't even convocated by the time I started here. So, like, it truly was the most fortuitous, like, sequence of events. But it really does truly, like I said, stems from that intrinsic reason for why you get involved in what you're doing. So
and we hear that a lot. I mean, we've interviewed, I mean, Erin Mihalik, and her journey was because of a personal lived experience. And yet here you are professionally in this role. So I'm curious, Taylor, you know, because you're doing this work and it comes from a personal place as much as it is from your educational background too, is so how do you manage, you know, patients who don't know about patient-oriented research, or even researchers, because it is relatively new, even though those of us that are in it, you know, are kind of in the trenches. But for people that are kind of outside of this conversation, what are your main challenges, you know, with that, sort of letting people know what patient-oriented research means?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a funny concept because, well, I guess not concept, but the label patient-oriented research always, I think people approach it as it being some mysterious concept, and it's a loaded term, and it's a way of doing things that is totally different and new and novel, but it's not. It's truly, like, I think I always start out conversations by saying, like, you know what? It's human to human contact.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's so important.
And you talk. Yeah, you talk to someone. You say, like, hey, I'm Taylor. This is where I'm coming from. I know a little bit about this area. You're so-and-so, and you're coming from this perspective, like, let's chat, like, let's inform each other. And it is that, like, that is the true starting point, I think. And so I never really approach what does patient-oriented mean as being, like, a challenge, or researchers who don't know what it is. That's totally fine, because you know it as something else. You don't, like, slap the label on it, but you know it as having a conversation with somebody, letting their experiences and insights inform how you are hopefully going to continue your research program. Like, little bits and snippets of information are truly, like, can be gold to some people that they don't really maybe see coming just from having a conversation. So I never really see it as a challenge.
People. You're facilitating relationships, you're matchmaking, and you're dealing with challenges every day, not just based on system knowledge, but you're dealing with the challenges to do with people, right?
I mean, we're all human, yeah. Like, some people have good days.
Thank goodness.
Some people have good days. Some people have bad days. You know, it's all just, like, start with a conversation around, like, where are you coming from, and, like, what's your background, and kind of how can we work together and go forward from that. And then you can slap on the labels for the grant applications and the jargon and yada, yada, yada. But really, fundamentally, it comes down to, like, get to know the other person. Let them teach you. You help teach them. Like, it's not complex. It's truly easy idea and concept. It's just that, yes, there has to be some language that it gets attached to, and some acronyms and all that kind of stuff. But it is a fundamentally easy concept to carry forward.
Okay.
And I know, I mean, obviously I'm sitting here with Lisa, who's from the Island Center, and the Island Center seems to be churning out sort of some good patients that are sort of rising to the top of this sort of area. So, you know, and I mean, obviously, because Lisa's doing this initiative, and you've got Chad Dickey.
I'm blushing.
Yeah, she won't talk about herself. And so you're obviously doing something right. So what are you doing? Like, how are you managing to do that? You know, get people engaged. And they've been doing it for a while, and there's this retention piece that we like to talk about rather than burnout. So, I mean, you must be doing something over there, I'm sure, that would be super beneficial for other people. So how are you managing that? How are you managing the people that are rising to the top? Because some people do, and not necessarily in a systems timeline, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Well, thank you, first of all, for the kudos at the sign. We kind of fly by the seat of our pants, but most of the
well,
time and beg for forgiveness after. But you know what? That's part of it, is be malleable, right? Like it's,
yes,
it's, there's no set in stone way to do this. And every team, every person, every opportunity is different, and you have to be flexible.
Yes.
But in terms of like, who, like individuals who rise to the top, I think when folks are good at doing certain things, instinctively we migrate towards the people like gems, like you guys. Like instinctively you're like, oh yeah,
aww, she's thanks. A perfect fit.
Yeah, she has the right experience, or oh man, she'll help me out, even though it's short notice. Like,
yeah.
There are people who will go out of their way to help you. And I think that that's fantastic. But one of the big things in my role is because I do have quite close relationships with a large number of individuals who have expressed interest in getting involved in different capacities, yes, in different ways. You know, like there's one opportunity is not the same or a good fit for somebody
never.
Else. And I think that's part of my role, is being able to recognize when people are starting to be overburdened and overasked, and starting, and I don't do it in a sort of, in like a, I don't know if a gatekeeper is the right word or not.
Yeah. I like it.
I keep an eye out for my patient partners, right? Like
yes,
I steer people away when I know, like Lisa, I know when they're tapped out. I say, hey, oh, stop. Like she's got 19,000 other things going right now. Let's not add another one to her plate. Even though she's a really good fit, even though it sounds like she'd really like it, like let's recognize that she's getting asked from avenues that I don't even know about, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
you've got my back, Taylor. It's great. It's so nice to have support through the BC support unit. But I'm going to ask you a question that doesn't shine the spotlight on me anymore. I'm going to ask you to shine a spotlight on one aspect of patient-oriented research. If you really wanted to light something up, you know, you want to put it, play it out on the big screen. What aspect are you going to choose to show and shine here?
I don't know if it's like cheesy sounding or what it is, but like, honestly, the conversation, the relationships, let that ride and drive the direction that you guys go. Like have conversations. There's always going to be these like bumps in the road and successes and failures, and people will get rejected or people will get accepted for presentations. And there's going to be all these different things coming at you. But if you have a really positive relationship and a strong positive relationship,
yes,
with your patient partners and the research team, like again, it comes down like human to human, like Lisa, okay, fine. Grant applications, they come, they go, and all that kind of stuff. But
right,
I know that I could reach out to you and say, like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? Like, let's just flush that out. Like,
and that's
the relationship.
Like.
Exactly. And it's, yeah, it's exactly. We like our coffee and we find a new spot every time.
We do. I want to go to the island.
Fun.
You guys are having too much fun over there.
Bev, if you came to the island, we'd never let you go back. That's the problem. So don't come. Stay away.
Well, I just bought a piece of property on Gabrielas. That may happen.
Yay.
In a few years.
An
not
island
now.
An island girl.
And Taylor, fair. So if there's a patient partner or even a health researcher who's listening to this and knowing that you're on Vancouver Island, you're part of the Island Center, and they want to get involved, what do you recommend?
It sounds bad, but I always say, just come meet me for coffee. Like,
yay!
But that's a lie. I'll come meet you for coffee.
Yes,
because,
there you go.
Because our offices, God bless the people who had to decide to put us here at the hospital, but the hospital is not a safe space, especially if people are dealing with different types of like health conditions, and they're here because they're getting treatment. And then I'm here to ask them to volunteer their time. They already spend enough time here. Parking is not cheap. Like,
yeah,
let's go off site. Let's get, I mean, I love to go away from the office as well. And I mean, I don't like, there's different ways that we can approach things. I tend to sort of say, where's closest to you? Where do you want to meet? We'll just come meet you.
I like it.
But also not to be worried about the possible illusion of barriers, like organizational barriers, like fill out this form, contact me through the inquiry form, like all these hoops and jumps and all, I'm at the other end of the mall anyway, so just call me or just send me an email or just it, like I'll fill out the inquiry form after and whatever, because that immediately can be a turnoff to people. And I think it goes for the same for researchers, right? Like, there's this patient-oriented research, CIHR-funded entity. Okay, that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, you just want to be able to know how you can get the support and the resources and the knowledge to help get to that funding opportunity. Call us. We're here. We're at the other end of the phone.
I love it. You should see, you can't see it on our audio, but Bev and I are just sitting here nodding our heads at you, Taylor, nodding our heads. But we have to let you go eventually. Sporecast can't keep you all to ourselves. We have to let you go and liaise and have coffee. But do you want to ask us any questions before we go?
I had one that I thought, because I thought, oh, maybe they'll ask me to ask them something. And I was going to say, how sick of you are the sandwiches that you get from every catered event opportunity that you guys go to?
Oh, my God. Oh. I'm so tired of the sandwiches. It's so funny that you say that, because the last workshop I was at, I'm like, really? The same sandwich?
Oh.
So, yes, I'm tired of the sandwiches.
Roast beef or black forest ham. Yeah.
But you know what? That's standard healthcare, you know, food, right? Any hospital, anywhere you go, it's kind of similar, unless you've got something you can run around and get your meals for you.
Well, we can't offer you a sandwich, Taylor, but we could offer you like a double-double at Timmy's, or we could offer you a lager. Like, what do you want?
I take an Americano Misto if we're meeting for work, and otherwise a glass of Chardonnay.
Yay. Awesome. On that note, thank you, Taylor.
Can I ask one more? Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Question? Yeah. Are you guys having fun?
We are.
We are. Yes. And for me, it's great. I mean, I'm on the mainland. Lisa's in Victoria, so it's great that we get to sort of introduce other people to each other too, and to listeners. Yes. And I think like profiling someone like yourself and what you're doing on the island, I'm hoping encourages, you know, sort of an example of best practice, even with hiccups, with the sandwiches, you know, in the way, but that there are people who are doing it. There are people who are doing it well, you know, even as they're learning and like the terms used to be malleable, that there are some successes there. So thank you so much, Taylor, for giving us your time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Lisa, Taylor was just amazing. Oh. I'm moving to the island.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. That's the nicest thing. You know, Taylor's role is so important to drawing patients and researchers together. She's a matchmaker. Research liaison isn't the right title for that, is it?
No, and I there's so much that she said in our conversation. And I think when I asked her about you know, the challenges or, you know, for people who don't know what POR means, and for her to say quite simply that it's human to human contact, that's just like the core of what we're trying to do as patient partners.
Absolutely. And draw in different humans, no matter what hat they wear. She wears many, but her head isn't too big.
Yeah, I know. No kidding, eh? And the other thing too is that I never even thought of it, and I'm a patient partner, is this whole idea of, I mean, I believe in safe space, obviously, right? Yes. We've all been traumatized by our experiences in some way, shape, or form. But the fact that she recognizes that where her offices are in a hospital may not be the best fit for some patient partners. And she offers to go and meet them at a coffee shop or a place that's they feel is safe. And I'd never actually thought of that before.
No, and she understands that to get the best out of people, because she strives to be the best herself in her job, she needs to sort of expand that traditional framework of talking to somebody over a desk or around a conference center and get them out being human, enjoying a cup of coffee, spilling a little bit on each other, pass the cream, whatever it takes.
And I think I'm going to get our coffee cup that says, let it ride and drive, because I love that she's all about that.
Absolutely.
Human to human, the conversations, letting it ride and letting it drive. So Taylor, I'm in. When my house is ever built on Gabriola, or my hut or my cob, I'm your girl.
And I'm with you.
Thank you for joining Sporecast today. We hope you will be inspired to get involved and create your own impact through patient engagement in patient-oriented research and help healthcare research be more relevant and meaningful.
If you'd like to get in touch with us and learn more, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @spore_cast. That's spore, S-P-O-R, _cast, C-A-S-T, #sporecast. We can also be reached via email at sporecast1@gmail.com or visit our website, www.sporecast.ca.